At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hello there, it's Jamila Jamil. Are you by any chance listening to this podcast promo while out on a walk? If so, good for you. That's going to make both your mind and your body feel better. On my podcast, I Weigh, this month, we're going to be exploring mental health and talking to amazing guests about other things that you can do to make yourself feel better with guests like Simon Sinek from The Optimism Company, therapist Vienna Farren, comedian Neil Brennan, and more. Listen to I Weigh wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to actually kick today's episode off with our new segment, Fight Me, which is a producer note from Emily, who was like, do we start the episode? Because it's not dissimilar. It doesn't take the, it ticks the same box as Top of the Cob. So let's bookend it. Let's ask to mouth it.
Okay, wait.
Let's human centipede it.
No, first, I feel like you have to do some sort of something about a normal intro to the episode, and then
you're
we
right.
Can fight me. You're just so excited for the... Well, I feel like it's important in the timeline of events. Last week was Kate Bowler's episode, which gave you all an extra week to send in your fight me's. Kate was amazing.
Huge mistake. No, she's great. It was great. I love her.
Everybody's like, please bring her back. Anytime.
Sure. If I didn't have you, I would forget to tell people I had a podcast. I'll forget to tell people that I'm a comic. You're like, don't you want to push your tickets? Emily sees not a dime from this. And she's like, don't you want to have a well-rounded show?
I want you to succeed.
If you're hearing this week, hopefully you're coming to see me at the already sold out Netflix is a joke show I'm going to do. I opted to do a small show and just be done with it. And then maybe you can see me at the Brea Improv. And I'm just gearing up. I'm actually gearing up to take a little vacation, but we'll be doing this show since it's just before I hit the road in the fall. My dad and my stepmom were just here, and I continue to fight anti-Semitism in every corner of the world. Turns out I can't control the world from my phone, but I do my best. I know we're supposed to start it with like some crazy story, but I'm finding more and more pleasure, like taking time to be, it's only recently that I've been like, it's the weekend. I'm kicking off because everything just feels so exhausting and horrible. So it's nice to just be like, I'm going to take a break. Sometimes I don't even do stand up on the weekends. I just do it all week.
Well, you've always had a job where it's like, what does the weekend matter? It's all the days are the same.
I just have so many events coming up. I'm doing stand up at the Johns Hopkins, this big Johns Hopkins benefit. I'm hosting the four-year consideration panel for the Amazon Emmys, and I'm just doing a ton of shows. And so I'm really, for the first time in my life, as every woman suggests, like taking some me time, and it feels great. And all of a sudden my nose is clogged, probably at the sight of your cat who is 1,500 miles away.
Is it not all the hair on the mic isn't doing it for you?
We both have really hairy microphones. It's not a metaphor, and it's for very different reasons.
I don't think they're very different reasons. I think they're the exact same reason.
You think a dog and a cat are different, are similar reasons? A totally different animal, Emily.
Yeah, having animal fur all over all of our belongings. Wearing black and having Aryan animals, yeah.
Aryan?
I had a guy,
oh, 'cause they're white?
A guy coming to sell me something.
I have a Chinese dog. It's the opposite of Aryan. It just happens. You mean just white?
A guy told me my cats looked Aryan because they have blue eyes as well. And he's like, and I could say that. I'm Jewish. And I was like, well, they like everyone.
It's so funny what people gerrymander what they can and can't say, because my people were oppressed 80 years ago by a group of Aryans some not. So now it's like, you can say whatever.
I don't think anyone could not call someone Aryan. I can't think of a single person who could not call someone else Aryan looking.
I think it has the Nazi tinge to it.
Oh, 100%. He was calling my cats Nazis. 100%.
But now speaking of Aryans, speaking of what you can and can't say, let's get to Fight Me. And I brilliantly decided that people should call in with their Fight Me's. And I hope you got a lot of them, right?
I got a few. And then I got some people writing it and saying, I don't know how to send a voice memo. So we'll work on that. We'll work on tech. We'll figure it
out. That's not going to work. That's the demographic we're dealing with. Just like technologically inept nurses, PhD students. Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear this. Who's this from?
So this is from Kat. Hey, Eliza, Evelyn, the whole crew. I've got a little something for the new Fight Me segment for you. It would be so fun to hear your take. Hope the German accent isn't too bad. Love all you do. So we've already got a fun accent. Bad.
Why'd you pick this one after the Aryan comment?
I'd already had this one.
Hey, DJ, play that song.
Hey, I'm Kat from Germany, and I think basic shouldn't be a negative. Like, jeans and t-shirt, basic, ugh. I think wear that outfit again and again. It's a good one for a reason. Not everything needs to be extra. Fight me.
Fight me. I completely agree, Kat. No fight from me. And I will tell you that the setup for my entire pumpkin spice rant online is about being called a basic bitch. And I'm like, so you're criticized if you're extra, and then you're criticized if you love things that are normal and being low maintenance. Basic means it covers all the bases. You don't need anything else. I agree with you. You could wear it always. I love a jeans and t-shirt. It's called a capsule wardrobe, and it means you're not polluting the planet.
Yeah.
No fight here. Emily?
No, I mean, I agree. I think it's interesting, though, that those things are a little bit cyclical, and I feel like it kind of comes back into fashion where everybody says, oh, pumpkin spice lattes and Uggs are lame. And then everybody goes, actually, we're past thinking that's lame. And then it's like, no, it's right. Lame again.
It's so uncool that it's become cool, because then you're just like, look, this is what I want to do. And enough people have done it. However, when we say basic, we're usually responding to a personality that's correlated with a sartorial choice. Like, you would never see like Cindy Crawford in a jeans and t-shirt and be like, ugh, she's basic. Basic, I really think, has to do with an attitude as expressed by your choices. Like, if I wore a Coach bag, I still wouldn't get called basic because the other choices in my life are not basic. So I do think you're taking it, and as Germans do, very literally.
I would argue, though, that the fight me for me on this would be, what a lame insult. Like, out of everything, it's like, oh, you're just like everyone else. Great. That's all anyone in society wants, is to conform
not
and
anymore.
Be part of society. What a lame insult.
Yeah, it's I got no problem with basic. And really, it's an indictment on women acquiescing to the things we tell them to like. And then when you do, it's like, oh, you can't think for yourself. It's like, okay, I didn't natively come up with the idea of wearing lip gloss. Like, I didn't come up with that on my own. You brainwashed me. Do we want to play another one?
No, we don't have enough to be going willy-nilly.
To kick it off? To kick it off?
No, we did one. This is our segment. We do one.
Like a grand opening. No. All right, fine.
You got one. Tune in next week for another one. Turn off the podcast right now and wait for next week for your new favorite segment, Fight Me.
All right, then I won't contribute one.
We want to do ours. You're right, because we do ours. So we'll do ours at the top. Yep.
This is a totally polished podcast, by the way.
So we're not going to play any more of other people's, but we're going to do ours. That's how we're kicking off, right? Is in a fight. Are we going to fight each other?
Go.
Let's find out.
Fight me. People who endlessly post about body positivity / their relationship / empowerment / anything do so because they don't feel positive and they need constant validation. Fight me.
I would say their argument is likely that they're helping other people, but I would 100% agree. This might be a real problem, Eliza, that we think so much the same that we're never going to fight each other.
It's the only reason we're friends. I will say this is not about those specific choices, but this is in general. Like, when you, unless you're trying to like convert someone to your religion, like when you in your heart do not question your relationship, like when you know this is it, this is like, I know Noah is the perfect one for me. So I don't feel the need to endlessly post like, look what my guy did, my guy. Like, we're also not like monetizing our relationship. I post very infrequently about a lot of things because I don't need that validation. It's nice that people love Noah, but I don't need people being like, you made the right choice. You see women sometimes when they date older guys, they're like showing off my hubby and there's a 50-year age gap. I'm like, this is because it's been poisoned by enough people telling you it's wrong. So you're either trying to prove it to them or yourself. Either way, it's poison.
Right. Any
the lady doth relationships. That's what that is.
Any motivational quote that someone posts, they didn't just come upon it. They're like, this is what's happening to me. It's like an aim away message where you'd post like a sad lyric and wait for people to be like, What is that? What's going on?
So good. It was the ultimate breakup flex. Like, so sick of love songs, .. And it's like, why? What happened? Did you and Adam break up?
Yeah.
All right. What's yours?
Mine is, okay, Gwyneth Paltrow is one example, but it happens across a range of things. And I think you've spoken to this, but I'm going to give my take. Gwyneth Paltrow is allowed to sell a leather folder that looks like a manila folder for like $500. Because guess what? If you don't want to buy it, it's not for you. Gwyneth Paltrow has created a brand for herself and people who can afford it. She has not created a brand for Walmart or Kmart. I can't afford
it's not for everyone.
Her clothes. I look at sometimes she'll post like a basic like white shirt and I'm like, ooh, it's $800.
Basic.
Not for me.
Not for you.
Like that's okay. Gwyneth Paltrow is not saying.
Condense it.
It's for you.
Gwyneth Paltrow is allowed to sell snake oil, fight me.
Honestly, yes. She is allowed to sell snake oil, fight me. If you're dumb enough to buy the snake oil or you want the snake oil, enjoy.
Yes, and you can always punch up. Like, it's always a fun to make. It's okay to make fun of rich people. If she were like a BIPOC like lotion maker and she's like, this is made of 100% jojoba butter. And you're like, and you were like, ugh, look at this garbage. Then it would be seen as classist and racist, but nobody feels bad for people with money. And she could, by the way, be Oprah shilling this and you could still you could still make fun of it and it would be fine.
And I love her.
Because, and by the way, not everything's for everyone.
No.
The goal is to have money and you can buy better things, even though the stuff is ridiculously priced. I'm sure it's still quality for the most part. Like, I doubt it's going to fall apart like that Target shirt. There's different price points.
Yeah.
Everybody would buy like that if they could, except for me. I can and I don't because I'm not an idiot.
We all spend money on different things. I wouldn't spend $800 on a really good shirt, even if I could. I would spend it on a TV. But
okay. I went to a nice store on Robertson and I spent $700 on a pair of pants once, thinking I was going to lose a little bit of weight. And I never did. And they're still in my closet. And that was 5 years ago.
That is the least relatable thing you've ever said on the show. This is it.
It was when I first realized that I could spend money and it would be okay. And I was like, I'm going to treat myself to this beautiful pair of pants that is triple marked up and I will always wear them. And I never have once fit into them. They cut into my vagina and I don't know what to do with them now. And they're red.
Okay. Here's what I will say. I make definitely far less money than you. I'm okay. I got a tax refund for the first time in years because I own a house now. I paid $250 for an e-ink tablet to help streamline my note-taking. Is that a good use of money? Maybe not for most people, right? Like
who have hands that can take notes.
Who have pieces of paper. This is digital paper, but it solved a few problems for me.
We're not the same. I will tell you, your fight me is, guess what? Not everything's for everyone. Get over it. That's your fight me.
Yeah, and as a lover of Gwyneth Paltrow, she can do whatever she wants.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it,
it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Let's get to the show.
The subject line of this email: allergic to America, or am I just a loser? Hi, Eliza and Emily.
I don't know. Can your body tolerate processed corn?
Longtime listener. First time question asker. Emily has been asking for new questions. I've listened to every episode and I don't think mine has ever come up. So here I am. Yes. My unfortunate medical history includes a very long and distinguished list of allergies. I'm allergic to all animals with fur and alcohol. My mom has these allergies too. When I'm around animals, I turn into Will Smith and Hitch. And when I have a drink, I closely resemble Melissa McCarthy and Bridesmaids, photos included for reference. Then, you know, it's...
Please show them.
Do you want to see them? Please.
I very much want to see this transformation.
Will Smith and Hitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to show me you.
Oh,
not
no.
A clip art of Will Smith and Melissa McCarthy. I know what these people look like.
No.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I know what Will Smith...
Oh, you
for
could,
reference.
You could call up in your mind exactly what Will Smith looks like in the film Hitch.
I just know he got hives. I wanted to see her with hives.
I don't.
And then tell her it looks fine.
Don't send okay, us you with hives. Both of these allergies are incredibly severe. I start to experience symptoms simply by entering a home where a pet resides. The severity of my reaction is directly correlated with how long I spend inside the home, even if the animal is not present or I never touch it. In regards to alcohol, I can have a few sips of any drink, and within 15 minutes, I will be taking up residence in my bathroom for the foreseeable future.
We believe you. I mean, you don't have to, you can just say it.
Until the alcohol is out of my system, I basically experience a severe stomach flu, including sweating, shaking, and explosive shitting.
Yeah, it's called being drunk and having fun.
It's a great time. I am well aware that pets and alcohol are two big factors in the makeup of American culture and leisure. My mother grew up in the Philippines on a little island in the middle of the ocean, so my attitude towards these things have been very different from the rest of my peers. My close friends and family are aware of my predicament and have no problem making adjustments. However, I just moved to Columbus, Ohio, and I want to make friends and try to start dating. Nobody wants to be friends with or date the girl who can never join in the party or will permanently stay away from your pet. I know it might sound silly, but I'm worried about the friendships and relationships that my allergies will cost me, even though it's not something within my control. I'm already on two medications to keep my daily allergies at bay. My question, when/how do you think I should tell someone about my allergies? How soon do I bring it up? Any cool or funny ways I can tell people without sounding like a complete loser? I have no problem with drinking and I like animals, but this is the hand I've been dealt. My best friend and I got to meet you in Chicago last year. You showed me your screensaver of Sierra and I felt so honored. Ooh. And of course, I'm planning on coming to your show on Columbus this year. You're my favorite comedian of all time. Sending love always. Jules from Columbus, Ohio, 28 female, an avid Eliza fan, a continual supporter of the Jewish people.
Well, thanks, Jules. These are things that literally impact your ability to live. Like, chances are, if you were around animals too much, your throat would close up. So, if you're a cool girl, just like anything like that, just like a dietary restriction or anything, you just tell people. And you don't have to worry about when you tell people. It's not like you're revealing you have an STD to your lover. Throw it in as it comes up. You're also not making friends like on an app. It's not like you're going on a first date with a friend. You just become friends with people. If they say, can you come over and be like, oh, I know this is like annoying or whatever, but I actually have a severe allergy. And they'll be fine with it. Nobody is going to be shitty to you, especially if you're cool. They'll be like, great, we'll meet in a neutral place. The drinking thing, you just don't have to participate. Everybody loves a designated driver. Nobody actually cares if you're drinking also. And if they do, then they have a problem. But like, you go out in a group, you just get a soda. That's it. And if you don't want to be around people drinking, like, because that gets not fun, you can make friends with people who drink less or don't drink at all. Go to an AA meeting and just clean up. Don't worry about it. These are real things for you. You don't need to worry about other people's reactions. It's not like you killed someone with your car. Not like you killed a kid with your car.
The alcohol thing isn't a concern at all. The pet thing is just hard because, yeah, people might have pets and then you can never go to their house. So you don't go over to their house, right? You don't get married to someone who has a dog. Like, you know.
That's it. Oh, didn't we have a question from some girl and the guy was like, she was like, we've been together and he hates dogs. He doesn't want a pet and I need one so badly. Mm-hmm. Find out that. See if they broke up already and get that guy's number. Best of luck, Jules. Don't worry about it. Ooh. This is not something you can help and you're doing everything you can. You don't need to be on a billion medications just to like sit in someone's house and eat their cat fur. So sorry that they invited you to their cat condo / scratching post for a martini, but you got better things to do. Like breathe easy.
You could date someone who has a bearded dragon.
Oh, there you go. You can start dating like snake guy or bird guy. And you can become those weird reptile bird people. Mm-hmm. Move to Florida. Won't be a problem. None of those pets have hair. They're all like reptiles. Oh, I guess there's a lot of like big cats. Well, sorry. Sorry, Joe Exotic. She won't be your... I guess he doesn't date women. I don't fucking know. Next one.
Is paying...
He only murders them. You heard me.
Oh, now you're accusing him of that man's death.
Oh, it was a man. I forgot. Sorry. That was like pandemic TV. Sorry. You're right. It was a dude.
Is paying an ex back for a trip desperate or reasonable?
Ooh.
Eliza and Emily, I greatly value both your perspectives and have benefited in my own life from hearing you encourage listeners to be more direct about their intentions and communicate more clearly in their relationships, professional, romantic, or otherwise.
Yeah, we don't have to deal with the fallout, so it's super easy to give that
advice. I know, it's really easy.
Just break up with her.
Here's what you should do in a perfect world. We wouldn't do it.
I'm literally leaning back and eating grapes as I'm giving this advice right now. I'm like, let them eat cake.
The most casual, no stakes for you.
Zero. I don't even know your name.
I, 40 female, happened to meet a romantic partner, 40 male, at a time of transition in my life. I was leaving a stressful professional career to care for my parents and had committed to a smaller scale life in the short term that included living very frugally. Knowing this, when he proposed a trip that included flights, lodging, car rentals, etc., I explained that I'd always been financially independent, and since I wasn't prepared to dip into savings or use credit, I loved the idea but couldn't afford it at the time. He's a lovely and generous person who could comfortably afford to cover the cost and was eager to do so, so we went on the trip and it was everything you want a romantic getaway to be, complete with restaurant and airport employees commenting on how in love we looked. At the time, it also felt like the first of many future trips, and I would be able to carry the financial burden for the next one to, for myself, balance the scales. A few months after our trip, everything sort of fell apart, and we just couldn't blend the realities of our other commitments, jobs, families, etc. I haven't spoken to him in 6 months. It bothers me still that he paid for the entirety of our trip, and I'd like to repay him for half of it. I would send it via PayPal with an email explanation. I've tried to interrogate my reasoning here, and if it's just an expensive means of reopening communication, but I'm telling myself that it's reasonable because I've always been someone who paid my way, and this is no different. He doesn't need it and would never begrudge having spent it. Am I just clinging to something I need to let go, or is it reasonable to want to settle this up? Sarah.
I don't really know the underpinnings. I don't know why you broke up. Like, there, it's not just a breakup. What do you mean you couldn't resolve? You couldn't, like, that's reconcile.
It's not like jobs and families didn't match.
I just wonder.
So
I would need to know more, like, deep down about why you broke up. Let it go. This isn't about like a free meal ticket. This isn't like he underestimated you or thought of you as manipulative or something. It is very, very common for, in many cases, like the guy to pay for something and he wanted to and he doesn't care. So I appreciate that you did some thinking on it. You're like, is this a way of reopening it? Only you can truly answer that. We do tend to get women on this podcast that always mention like, and I always pay my way. That's great. But nobody needs you to retroactively pay for something, going back in time, opening something up. What will you get out of that? If it was truly, as you're putting it, like a mutual breakup, then there's nothing to even out. I pay my own way and other people's ways for a lot of things in life. And just because I'm someone who pays for everything doesn't mean I feel obligated to go back if somebody willingly gave of something.
Right. If I just started sending you money for like, remember when you bought me coffee?
It's insulting.
2 years
and
ago?
And who knows how much it was. I don't know what he makes. It might be a negligible cost to him. But I don't see what you really get out of it. Maybe you feel better about the breakup in a weird way. It sounds like it's more about the breakup than it is about your financial solvency.
Unless you had some arrangement where it was like, okay, I'm going to get you back next time. It sounded like that wasn't it at all. He said 100%, look, I know you don't want to go right now because you don't have the money right now. I want us to go, so I'm going to pay. It sounds like there was no other agreement. And so, it would be insulting. Don't do it.
There was no other agreement. You also, unlike a lot of people, were crystal clear. And we've had this on the pod where it's like, but I really want to do something. My friend can't afford it. Can I just pay for it? He decided to pay for it. You decided to go. You all knew the terms. Even if you wrote in and you were like, and he's asking me to pay him back, I would say, absolutely do not. We are all responsible for our choices. He made the choice to pay for it. You made the choice to go. You both made the choice to enjoy it. I find it a little weird that you included how in love you seemed. And honestly, now that I'm thinking about that, I think it bothers you that you guys broke up. Yeah, sorry. I should have tapped in earlier to that. If you want to reach back out, reach back out. By the way, you know what's going to be awful is if you reach out and you're like, hey, I'd like to pay you this, whatever, $3,500. I don't know what your trip costs or what a trip costs. $3,500. And he says, yes. Oh, and by the way, do you want to go for coffee? That's a weird place to start sleeping together from.
Or you send the money and he never even says like received. Like that would drive me insane. Like, did he get it? Did it go to him? Is it in the ether?
Well, she'll know because it's like wired or it's Venmoed or it's whatever, or PayPal, like it would be debited from your account. And you could look at that. But even weirder, if you are trying to reopen it, then it looks pathetic. I think it'd be more pathetic if a guy tried to do it. So if he misses you, great, but you'd also wish he would reach out to you. But it's weird if he's like, great, I'll take that money. Let's date again. Ugh.
If you are really wanting to reconnect with him, just reach out to him and say, hey, how are you?
She doesn't know that though. So I'm just saying, dig a little deeper, but under no circumstances should you do it under the guise of, hey, here's some money for that all you can eat shrimp buffet we went to. And that, like, emergency room visit Mexico when I got diarrhea from all that shrimp. Moving on. Moving right along.
no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Sexy health problems. Sad face. Hello, Eliza, Emily, kiddos, husband, pets, and anyone else nearby. Eliza is my favorite comedian. I love both of you in the podcast so much.
Yes.
Okay, this next sentence is very important. She says, I know my signature is turned on, but would appreciate keeping this anonymous. Yes, guys.
No way, Rabinathan. That's a weird name, but now everyone knows it was you. Rabinathan.
That's why I don't read your names most of the time, guys, because you have the default signature on. And so I don't read it out of fear. So be very explicit if you want your name read. All right. This is a bit complex, but I'll try to be brief. Me, female, my husband, are 37 years old. We've been together for 16 years, married for 12. And for all of our professional adult lives, we've each worked full-time, pay the bills job, in addition to freelance visual art / illustration jobs on the side. We have no kids, and despite all odds and miscommunications, are really happy together and are best friends. A few years ago, I figured out that I'm demisexual, basically asexual.
Is that what that means?
Demisexuality means being sexually attracted to someone only when you have an emotional bond with them.
Oh, a woman? You're a woman.
Right. Basically, this has explained a lot about my attitude towards sex. Basically, it's nice, but not a must have. But
you're a woman. You're a woman. I'm sorry.
Sex
you're
is
an almost middle-aged woman.
Sex is really important to my guy who struggles with anxiety. I don't know how those two are related. Part one of problem. We are both so busy with our multiple jobs, and I think about sex so little that over the past year, my guy has been left wanting a lot and gotten into some emotional entanglements with a couple female friends. Once he realized where those relationships could be going, he did some hard stops and told me what was up, and we've since had a lot of conversations and educated ourselves more about asexuality. I've been doing my best to not get too busy and put lots more effort into our sex life. The idea of an open relationship has come up, but we'd rather stay monogamous.
Brought up by him. Yeah, go on.
Part two of problem. A month ago, I started having some bizarre gastrointestinal issues. I've done a bunch of tests that have ruled out cancer, and it seems like my symptoms are slowly improving, but still in the dark about the cause. I feel varying levels of queasiness and intestinal pain, similar to period cramps, for 1/3 to 1/2 of each day. I'm pretty sure this GI problem is related to a hereditary syndrome I've been researching with my family. It's also made sex somewhat painful, even if we wait until I feel fine to do anything. I mentioned my husband is anxious. He'll feel horny for days, but won't want to have sex even if I want to try because he hates that it could cause me pain. My work has also been negatively affected, but I care less about that than keeping our relationship strong. I am frustrated to tears and don't know what to do anymore. My stupid guts have thrown a giant wrench in our gears. This past month, we've only had sex once, which is not what my guy needs. I felt broken for most of my life because I was ignorant about my asexuality, but now my physical body feels broken too. I've already given my guy so many gray hairs. What if my GR problem never goes away and I just can't do sex enough for him to feel fulfilled in that way anymore? Any ideas, research direction, or perspective would be greatly appreciated. I wasn't going to actually send you this because there's been a couple times the last few years where just writing the email was enough to organize my thoughts. Imagine what you'd say.
Is it a picture of Will Smith with hives?
No, just this email and get it figured out. But my guy encouraged me to send it this time because he also wants to know your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Okay, no one's going to like that I'm going to say this. And this is very white woman wellness, like unsolicited medical advice. I would not be surprised if your family researched gastrointestinal issue is a physical manifestation of the anxiety you feel about the obligation to have sex. And I bet you, if you guys were not together, or if he just tomorrow was just like, I just don't need sex, you would start to feel better. I'm not saying it's not real. I am saying it is exacerbated. Whatever irritation you're getting is exacerbated by this. I also think if you are truly, there is the version where you are getting a little bit older and you just aren't as attracted to him, or he is your best friend and it's just not a sexual relationship. Because you hear this a lot and then you meet someone else and it's like, oh my God, I've been awakened. So I think that there's a lot to explore there. Obviously, like my guy answer to this, you're like, and it hurts to have sex. I'm like, but your mouth still works, right? Your butt still works.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying you don't want to because you don't want to. You don't want to. And
right.
It sounds like this is not a viable relationship. Seems like a dead end. Sex hurts you. You want to give it to him. He wants sex. He doesn't want to take it from you because he doesn't want to hurt you. So what are you going to do?
Look, your husband encouraged you to write in. I'm sure he's a lovely
man. He was hoping I'd be like, you can still use your mouth.
You told him still has a butthole. So I just...
butthole.
He could be so nice. The fact... There's something that bothers me a little bit that he's so anxious about this. He's putting it on to you.
Probably already cheated on you.
No, I'm not saying that you should keep secrets and you shouldn't share with each other. I do wonder how much of that anxiety is guilting you even further. How much of it is him just like sharing with you how he really feels and how much is like, well, this is really hard for me. Now, I also will say, you've been to a doctor. There are sex therapists and you should talk to one. Because you're asexual. Your guts worked, you're asexual.
You're asexual. You're either asexual or you think you are because you don't want to have sex with him. And I'm not trying to undermine. You could be gay. I'm not trying to undermine what you're feeling as a woman. So I'm saying those are your options. But if you're gay, that means you're not attracted to him. And I think you need to dig deep and you may not even realize it. You love this person. You've mentioned he's your best friend, but you don't want to necessarily always have sex with the best friend that knows everything about your friends from high school and your inner thoughts and you have playtime with and you act like little animals together and whatever inside jokes. Are you just sitting still quietly? Oh
yes.
My God, that was so still. Emily, I thought you died. And he's anxious because he is a man, but also he needs sex and he needs emotionally, he's not being fulfilled. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm not saying he cheated on you, but for him to have emotionally become invested in multiple people is a cry for help.
I think you guys should cut your losses or see a therapist because neither of you are getting what you want. You want nothing to do with him and you don't feel well. And he's like, I need my basic needs met. And you can still love each other and be best friends, but this doesn't seem like it's doing it for either of you.
Yeah, that's really hard when there's not like...
You don't want to break up.
Right, right. When it's like, he's not, no one's doing anything wrong. It's just a mismatched level of libido.
Or you just grew into the people that you are.
Yeah.
And it kind of is neither here nor there. It's great that I don't even know if you want to have sex with him as much as you want to satisfy him. You want him to be happy and fulfilled. You want to have had the sex. You just don't want to have the sex. Mm-hmm. It's not working. So either lay it all out there, get right with Jesus, see a sex therapist and fix it. But if you are truly asexual, there's nothing to fix. And I do think it is exacerbated by the fact your stomach issue is exacerbated by all of this. And you can make yourself sick over stuff. I had a relative who like wouldn't let something go and it gave her cancer. Like these things, these like on a cellular level, like these negativities or these anxieties, especially in your gut.
Yeah, I feel very, when I'm worried about something, I feel very sick.
What do you think an ulcer is? Yeah. Yeah, that's an ulcer. That's why cops in movies are always drinking Pepto-Bismol because they eat garbage and they are always on the beat. Yeah, just saying. So I'm sorry. And this podcast is here to just kind of give you that ice cold sobering advice. But this is not a relationship. A relationship isn't physically being uncomfortable and mentally being uncomfortable and seeking validation from outside parties because your partner isn't satisfying you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hope you guys are listening together and I hope you figure it out together. And I hope you figure out a way that you can both be happy.
It's so awkward for you to both be listening to this right now. I'm sorry, man, that is the guy. I'm sure you're lovely. I just have to flag all possible. What if you suck? I don't know. I don't know you. I'm sorry.
She is making him sound like a really sweet, compassionate guy, and he deserves to be sexually fulfilled. It's always about women and don't demand this of them, but like, why don't his needs matter?
Yeah.
He's not being unreasonable, and neither is she.
Yeah. That's why it sucks.
I think there's a really, it sucks. It sucks because it's so much time, and you've been together for so long since such a young age that you may have been growing into these people. You may have been growing apart and not even realized it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
You're both young enough that you could still go and still have like total chapter twos. And you know, you can share custody of that cat. It'll be okay. No, you can't. No one who breaks up can share custody and have it going for that long. I don't like saying kick it anymore.
Okay. I'll just start.
Moving right along. It's from the Muppet movie. Because my daughter watched it. Moving right along.
The one with Amy Adams or one of the older ones?
No, the original one.
Oh, okay.
It has like a ton of cameos. Moving right along.
Hi, Eliza, Emily, and the rest of the crew. I, 34-year-old female, have been a fan since Eliza's first Netflix special. I'm in the middle of Girl Logic, which I want to give to my niece when she's a little older.
Yes.
She's only 12
right
now. Buy a
new copy, though. Yeah, we'll buy a new one. Paper and hardback just to see what her wrist can handle.
I have even converted my 36-year-old boyfriend to an Eliza fan to the point where he quotes Eliza's specials in everyday conversation.
That's a man's man.
Shocker. My question is not about my relationship. I have a very good friend since freshman year of college. Wait, now just scroll up and see how old she was.
It's you.
34.
It's you.
So that's over 10 years, that had a baby boy while I was listening to your latest AIA episode. I text her in the morning saying, bro, you're going to be pooping in a room full of people soon, as she was due to deliver next week. I was pleasantly surprised with a picture of her and her little nugget that made his debut in the world while I was listening to you and Emily banter. By the way, it's one of my favorite parts of each episode. Back to my friend. When she told me of her pregnancy and that she would be growing a penis in her womb, I quickly bought her two pairs of baby Converse, which I had shipped to her home. Last month, she had her baby shower, in which I bought a few gifts and books for her son. I plan on visiting her in a month. I want to give her some time to get situated before I bombard her space. My question is, when I visit to do the customary get the fuck out of my way and give me your baby so I can sniff his head,
What should I bring as a gift? I want to bring something for her and possibly her husband, since I've already given a few gifts for their first bundle of joy. What would you have loved to receive, or what did you receive from friends when you had your babies? Or should I just get another gift for her son? Thanks for the laughs, your fellow curly-haired millennial that refuses to embrace them.
That was such a strongly worded summary of what your friend's going through. You're going to be shitting in a room, bro. Is that a dick in your belly? Give me that baby.
In this case, though, and I think that context is helpful as to the what kind of relationship her and her friend have. It seems stronger for sure than a lot of the friendships people write in about, where they're like, I'm going to go visit my best friend who I hate.
That's true. At least you guys love each other. You know what I would give? What I've been given doesn't really matter, because every mom needs different things. Every mom has their own way of doing it. If they have money, maybe they might be at a place where they don't need anything else. I don't know what they have, where they're, whatever. Give them the night off.
Ooh.
I will sit here and watch your baby while you guys go to dinner. I will buy them a couple's massage or something like that, and they can use it when you're gone or something. Preferably like a masseuse that comes to the house, or buy them something that like they could maybe do together. Like an Uber, I don't know their situation, but like an Uber Eats gift card, something that actually, rather than adds to, takes something off their plate. That's what I would give.
Start a meal train for them.
Oh God, don't ask Emily to be part of it. Don't post it on our questions. Don't ask our followers. I also, yeah, do they have babysitting covered? It's tough too when you give the amount of just plastic that we end up with, like little toys. Like, don't give them like single use things. If you're going to give them a toy, maybe give them a toy that grows with the child. It's also tough when people give gifts that are like, and he can use this when he's three. You're like, so I have to hold on to this till then. A beautiful blanket is always great, like with their initials on it. Like, classic things are always nice, but take stock of what they have, so you're not giving like another stuffed animal, another plaything. Like, kids don't need as much as we give them.
Yeah, but I like the idea of giving something to the parents. Like, I had a friend who had a baby, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what to get the baby. So I got like the dog a gift basket, because I was like, that baby's getting all the attention sweet. Now and the dog isn't. So I was kind of like, okay, I know you don't have this. You know, this is something different.
Also ask her. Be like, are you breastfeeding? Do you need a breast friend pillow? Do you need a boppy? Do you need like... You also, if you're a first-time mom, kind of don't know what you might need.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, you know what you should give her? You know what you should give her? I don't know the brand of it, because there's a billion brands. My cousin Harley, so shout out to Harley, because I saw her do this, got a bottle that has a little plastic tube coming out of it, and it attaches to a pacifier. So your baby can suck down milk without you holding the bottle. Once they're like 3 months old, mm-hmm. The amount of time mothers spend just literally holding a bottle. And I know you could like prop it up or something with like a cloth, but this way your baby can suck on a pacifier and feed themselves, and the bottle can just sit next to him. Find it on Amazon. Give that. Give her the gift of having her hands back.
You know what baby thing I'm obsessed with? Do you have that little thing that you use to just scoop their boogers out?
I've never needed to do that.
I'll be honest. The internet was making it seem like a real big problem. The baby's just got boogers pouring out. You gotta get in there and mine them. Like, oh, the baby's drowning in its boogers.
That's what's crazy about this is I've never had to do that. I've never had to like put something in my daughter's butt to relieve her gas.
Oh, and the fingernails. But
plenty of kids do.
Do you have to deal with like little pointy fingernails?
Oh. Get them the haka. Not the haka, like the Maori dance, but like it's called haka. It's an electric nail file that has different attachments for the older your kid gets. And then there's one for like adults that all comes. This comes with like five attachments, and it's a nail file that just goes around. So you can file down your kid's nails. It doesn't hurt at all. You couldn't hurt them. You could do it on your own skin, and you, cause she will need to file his nails, or otherwise he'll scratch himself. Ooh. That's what you get him. Super practical. Anyways, but that's just like a quick little item. Anyways, those are my answers. Next question. Back to the bridesmaids.
Do you remember how weird it is? Just I remember as a kid, like having like your parents have to clip your nails for you when you're like a littler kid. Like you're aware of what's going on around you, but like you shouldn't have scissors. You might cut too low, and you're just like, okay, please. Sierra, yeah. Your dad's like,
nope, there's no please.
Clipping them.
Sierra will fight you. I'm like, I'm gonna hog tie you, and I'm gonna file these down so you don't scratch your own eyes out. I have a joke about it. Joke about everything.
All right. Petty cue about my mother-in-law. Hi, AIA crew, especially the talented hot Scotty. Longtime listener, first time asker. I think this is a low stakes cue, definitely within your pay grade, Eliza. Here we go. I, 31 female, have been with my husband, 30 male, for over 9 years, married for 2. His mother likes me, but I personally like to keep the relationship casual because she is a big personality, shall we say. 4 years.
You've been married for 9 years and you're going to keep it casual?
Dating 9 years, married 2.
I'm sorry, still.
4 years ago when my husband and I got engaged, I told my close friends and our families that I'd be keeping my last name. I signed our license with my maiden name and have no intentions of ever changing it due to the degrees I hold. Not a nurse, by the way. Everyone seemed to not bat an eye at this except my mother-in-law. She insisted, "You will change your mind when you have kids," which I found to be a bit dismissive. Further, everything she sends to my husband and me is addressed to Mr. and Mrs. husband's last name. Again, this is with full knowledge.
We're not going to stalk you.
This is with full knowledge that I did not and will not take his name. I know this is petty and perhaps something you may say I should let slide, but I can't help but feel she's being deliberate and not acknowledging my choice to keep my name. How do I gently remind her I have my own last name and I will remain that way? Thanks, Megan. You can use my name because there's about a million Megans out there. Additional context, we do not have kids, but do plan to have a family. They will have husband's last name and I will pick a family name of mine for middle names.
That's my reality. My kid's last name is Gluten, both of them. And they're one family and I'm this like separate mother, which is always funny when you travel. Like the kid could have any name because they don't actually care if the kid is yours. They just want to make sure you paid for that seat and that it's the seat of the person that paid for it. I will say this. She's wrong. The amount of things that you can't possibly realize or understand until you have kids, it's endless. That being said, that's a very legitimate feeling that you feel it undermines what you're saying. And that doesn't seem like something you're ever going to go back on. It is more difficult when your kids have a different last name than you. But more and more, we are living in a world where that is the reality, where parents aren't married or women are keeping their names. So it's really not the world she grew up in. And that's okay. If you want to go to the mat on her being micro passive aggressive with addressing stuff, the two of you, you can. But at the end of the day, you have these degrees that you earned. You're not going to change it. And you're not. And you seem, what, Emily?
You're
get your mouth open.
Because you're so right. She's 100% doing it on purpose. Right. And I think in that situation, all you want is for someone else to acknowledge, yeah, she's being petty. Does it matter?
Oh, there you go. And you know what? It's not coming from a mean place. She wants, you know, to all be wrapped up. You're in the family. I think you could say to her, I really respect what you're saying and those are your experiences, but your unwillingness to acknowledge where I'm coming from makes it harder for me to get close to you. And I do want us to be closer. And she'll be like, oh, and she'll just repeat herself over and over, but at least you will have been heard if you're willing to have that uncomfortable conversation. And you can also say to her, you know, for women of my generation, acknowledging what she's saying, it means a lot to be independent and to have gotten these degrees that I work so hard for. Do you not get to be a doctor if you change your last name to your husband's last name? Or that obviously means something to you that those degrees, I think the issue is those degrees are in that name. So when they're hung up on the wall, wherever you are, you want, I think that means a lot to you. And that's okay that that does. And I think, not that you owe her an explanation, but if you explain where you were coming from and you can say like, we are going to have kids and the kids will, we live in a world where it's fine that the kids don't have the same name. We live in a world that accommodates that. And I want you to be a part of all of that. And I always want to include you, but I need there to not be this weirdness where if we disagree that there's like something between us and she'll be like, oh, there isn't. I'm just telling you how I feel. And you'll be like, and I'm hearing you. And I always want to hear you. And I just want you to hear me. You're the one with the psychology degree. I'm guessing you're a psychologist. I don't know. Psychiatrist. But I think there's a really nice way to say, like, I know this is coming from a really good place, but these things mean a lot to me. And we don't live in a world that really requires. You would take your husband's last name because you were becoming his property. he was the one in charge. Women couldn't open a, have a credit card until the 70s. So it is an antiquated thing. It's a lovely notion, but it doesn't mean the same thing that it once did.
No, and I think when you have kids, it won't really matter because when the card is written to the husband's last names, it'll be like, yeah, of course, because they're not going to write to the husband's last names and you, because that, like, that's just not natural. So it's not going to matter.
Everything we get is to Eliza Schlesinger and Noah Galutin.
But it's never to...
And people just fucking deal with it.
The Galutins and Eliza Schlesinger. They're not like, oh...
No, correct.
Like a Christmas card isn't going to, you know...
It did... you know what? If someone's sending you a Christmas card and it's not like Honda of Suncoast, then it's your friends writing both of your names.
Yeah.
And people get over it.
Yeah, fair.
So you can appreciate where she's coming from, but we don't live in that world anymore.
No. And she's being a jerk.
A little micro passive aggressive jerk. Moving right along.
Hi. First of all, love the pod and all of Eliza's advice, obviously. Secondly, Eliza, I was at your first 2020 social distance comedy show in LA in some random apartment parking lot with a bed of a truck as a stage.
You know who used to produce those?
Was those Matt Rife?
Comedy multimillionaire golden boy, Matt Rife.
Yeah.
Talk about a hustle.
It was him and Paul Elia, right?
Yeah. It was called Low Key.
Low Key Outside. Or was it Jam Outside. In the Van? No, it was Low Key Outside.
No, it was, I remember it was in the bed of a U-Haul and I was like this, I was like being a white person standing in the bed of a truck, like this feels racist to be like yelling with this microphone.
So here's the, this person says, Emily, don't worry. I saw you there too, holding Tianfu.
Oh God.
I don't think I was there. I was the one who yelled Blanche when you mentioned your dead dog. LOL. Hi.
Oh, that's when I was telling dead dog jokes.
Oh.
Not jokes. I was processing it.
Yeah. The good great time in your career.
About how much I hate when people talk about the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh. Ugh. I started bawling when you came out because I'd been listening to this podcast so much as it was a funny, insightful, and much-needed distraction to the dumpster fire that was happening at the time, and bam, there you were. Anyway, I have a different, maybe weird type of question I don't think you've answered before. Background. I'm 33. Female, married to another female, 30. Yay for gays. Context. We're going to try to get pregnant soon with myself as the carrier and our sperm donor being my wife's brother. We feel very lucky and grateful he's offered to do this and that we even have the option to do so. We're going to try as naturally as possible at home first without the me having sex with him part because, yes, people have asked. Think more turkey baster before trying more invasive methods.
An insane thing to ask. Are you going to have sex with your wife's husband? That's an insane. It would never even occur to me. It would never occur to me to ask anyone like, like, if you were getting a sperm donor, like, are you going to sleep with that donor? Like, that's such a shitty, ignorant... You should not be friends with anyone that asks that because they don't understand homosexuality.
Question. Do you have any ideas for something we do or say prior to starting the act? Will all three be in our house at one point, prepping / doing our things, LOL? Wondering if we should say a little prayer or do a meditation together before, or if I just make a joke about how uncomfortable and weird it is. But it's also really cool to have three people wanting to create this kid in a different way. Is there a way to make this meaningful, but albeit awkward, process a positive or lighthearted experience? Congratulations on baby boy Ethan and Sierra, who I constantly quote Moss Oranges or Oran Haste to myself.
Oh my God. Cat. She doesn't even say that anymore. Moss Orange, please. Oh, all the things that your kids did that you thought were the biggest deal that they like did for 6 weeks and then stopped. Oh my God. I have to write that down. Moss Orange.
Okay. So what do you do when your brother-in-law is in the other room jerking it and then you're taking your pants off and they're going to bring in and squirt a non-turkey baster. How do you make this not horrible and still have like Thanksgiving dinner with your brother-in-law?
First of all, don't wash the turkey baster because you want to keep the family close. I have a question. If it doesn't work, are you going to do this like prayer and dance a second time and like read your joke the second time? I actually think the idea of saying a little prayer, it's not about like religious prayer, but like... you know, setting an intention and just be like, if we could have a baby, just the two of us, we would. And it's, I think if you just stick to the positive thing of like, this is incredible. This is the closest we can get to the woman I love's genetics. And this is amazing. And we're forging a path and doing something that a lot of people don't do. And there's always going to be, I think you should focus on how groundbreaking that is. And while it is, it feels weird, it is an incredibly unique, special thing you're doing. And focus on the fact that there are three whole people wanting to create this. And so many babies are created and no one wanted them in the first place. So I can't really tell you what to do because it's not my experience, but I am giving you and blessing you and saying, whatever you do to make it special, even if it's like you all have a shot of tequila before or after, or you all take mushrooms before, whatever it is, or you all just write down an intention for that baby, what you want for that baby, or you just say it out loud with candles lit. I think that that is just between the three of you. And I think that that's really cool. I think it's so, I'm just hearing it, but I'm like, I think that's I've never heard of something like that.
Yeah, I think you don't want to be too jokey, but I don't think you don't want to be too serious. Because basically, I feel bad for this brother who has to go like do this in the other room while his sister and her wife are there. Like he's in it's an awkward spot. So you want to be grateful, but not.
Like there's a reason when you go to the doctor, you have to put your urine in like a little door because nobody really wants to like look you in the eye while they handle your fluids. Mm-mm. I think he does his thing. I think it like lives for like a few hours. I think you set the intention, you do the thing. I think you do that like in the morning or I'm just going to put this out there. Have him do his thing and leave it for you and come to it like no pun intended, like a few hours later or something. Like the idea is that like he does it, leaves it in the fridge, he's gone. And then you and your wife have your special thing and you can go get it when you're ready. Like he doesn't need to be like sitting doing reading the Sunday funnies at the table. He shouldn't be there. If this were between a man and a woman, we would be like, yeah, get everyone else out of there. So why should yours be any less sacred?
Fair.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Figure out the science on where it can go and how it can live.
How long does sperm last on a hotel mattress? No. Sperm can survive outside the body. For 15 to 30 minutes. Never mind.
All right. So have him do it and then have him run.
Have him do it and knock on the door and leave it there and be gone. He shouldn't be there when you're done.
No.
Go get dinner later or just something, but just make it what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And don't, if you're the kind of person that makes jokes to feel better, but like, don't be so willing to like make a joke just because this is not traditional.
Yeah.
That's what I say as a totally heterosexual person. I'm like, protect this, how sacred your lesbian relationship is. But like, why does yours have to be the joke?
Yeah. I like that. I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Top of the cob.
It's the top of the cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
My top of the cob is my new note-taking. Here's the thing. We'll see if it works out for me.
Okay, cool.
But because of how I take in information, I realized I had about 5,000 just text notepad files on my desktop at work. And that's insane.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's not a way to live. It's not organized. Right. So I did a lot of actually, you know what my real top is? I love researching tech products or any product I'm going to buy. I love reading reviews. I love comparing. I love like watching a weird YouTube video about how it works. So I put a lot of hours into this and I'm so far so good because I wrote down my fight me's and my tops of the cob and I'm feeling good. So we'll see. It's exciting to have like, you know, you're starting a new thing. Is it going to stick?
Maybe. You spent a lot of money on it, as you told us before when you were flexing. Let's do these in clumps. What's your bottom of the cob?
My bottom of the cob is when you sleep really badly.
Also this notebook.
That I spent all my money. No, when you sleep really badly and you know it's your fault, and you know you could do something about it, but you don't. Like you're just like, ugh, I know. I'm not supposed to use my phone in bed. Ugh, I know. I should have gone to bed earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I just scrolling on Twitter at 2 a.m.? Like that's on me. And also I slept horribly and I'm going to be mad tomorrow. But I could have done something to change it and I'm not going to do that.
It's called addiction. I have it too. The amount of times I wake up, you feel like an alcoholic. You wake up and your eyes hurt and you're like, you did this to yourself, you fucking piece of shit. You didn't need to watch all those women tap their nails on their Stanleys.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the fan top and bottom?
So the fan top is making a new friend as an adult that just so happens to love Eliza as much as you do. Approximately 2 minutes into our first real conversation, our love of Eliza came up, and I immediately knew she was the kind of friend I wanted. I know she's listening, so shout out to Q. I'm so glad you made it to my corner of the world. Emily.
I love that we're using names. What's the bottom of the cup? I love that. Thank you. I love that.
I know. I try not to read too many that are... There are a lot of cobs about you. Like, a lot about Aww. You, but... I try not to read them all.
Thank you.
Hi, Eliza, Emily, Hot Scotty, and all the kids and four-legged friends. Love the podcast. Makes my commute much more bearable. My bottom of the cob is in honor of my husband. He is actively... Are you allowed to do a transferable bottom of the cob? I feel like you can.
It's really funny. Yeah. We didn't say no transfer. We didn't specify at the bottom of the coupon. No transfer, so...
He is actively looking for work the last 6+ months. Every interview and second interview he's been on has resulted in being ghosted. I understand a company not responding just to an application or resume submission, but when a candidate is invited to an interview and then drives to the company for a second interview, at least give the courtesy of a thank you, but we've decided to go a different direction email. It's so rude how the expectation is now assume you didn't get the job unless we call you back. It shows the lack of integrity and demonstrates how they treat their employees. Thanks for letting me vent. It hurts me to see how hard my husband is seeking work only to get ghosted over and over again.
He doesn't work in Hollywood because that is standard. I was like, oh, is he an actor? Oh, we love you. And they gaslight you by being like, we love you. You're incredible. No notes. Not you.
We want to find the right project for you.
No, not that, but please, please, something soon. Okay, I'll be out of the office. I've got spring break. Bye. Okay, I clumped them because my top and bottom are the same topic. I have, and I'm saying this because it's a little bit of TMI, but maybe it'll make someone else feel better. It's kind of contradicting my fight me at the beginning, but I'm just going to say this because like when people talk about stuff too much, but I'm only saying this once, so it should be okay. I... breastfed, and by breastfed, I mean breastfed, but also pumped for Sierra for 4 months. And for Ethan, I made it about a month. And as of like today, I am done pumping. I am sad about it because it is something that I can do. And I know he's fine with the lovely formula that we have for him. But it makes me feel very, very bad, like chemically in my brain. And I like that it burns calories, but it makes me feel so bad that I had to stop doing it. So I feel bad. I'm like, oh no. Like, is this how, you know, as a mom, you're like, oh no, does this mean that like I'll always give her everything and he won't get enough? Like you start to think about like, what does this mean? And I have to keep reminding myself like you had to stop doing it because it made you feel chemically and mentally very, very bad. And that's a real thing. It doesn't affect all women. So the top is that I'm done. So I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to dread waking up and expelling milk multiple times a day.
Is it rude to ask, how do you just decide how does your body know that it should stop doing that?
So it takes a bit. Like you have to, like, if you're really... I kind of white knuckled it, but the way to do it is to like, of all the feedings you do, like let's say you do like 6 a day, then you take out 1. And if you become, I hate the word engorge, but if that happens and they say just expel, like expel, express. Oh my God.
I don't know. Express makes me think of anal glands. I like expel better.
Same thing. Express just a little bit of milk to like relieve some of it. So it is like a process. And I just was like, nope, I'm just going to just do this once or twice a day or 3 times. I did, actually. It took me about a week.
Oh, boy.
And today was the first day I didn't do it at all. And I like look at all my equipment and all my pump and all my stuff. And I'm just like, it's a bummer. But I would do it and I would let it take up time if it didn't chemically make me feel absolutely beyond anxious and upset and weird. So that's it. Top and bottom is that I couldn't keep doing it, but my top is that I will probably feel better. And I have been feeling more like myself lately. So
that's exciting.
Human body is a mystery. Yeah, that's my top and bottom. I shouldn't have shared that, but I did.
I think
I did because
people want to hear that.
Yeah. I'm conflicted about it, but like if someone was like, oh, you shouldn't, because I'd be like, I'm not interested in that. I did because I needed to.
Yeah.
When moms forget to take care of themselves.
Don't worry. They send their medical opinions to the Ask Eliza thing, which I check and you don't. So you're safe.
I'd also like to say, you know, it is a thing. It's called like something like dysphoric lactation, something where most women feel good when they express milk or breastfeed and a small percentage of just don't. And when I took Ethan to the doctor for his checkup the other day, it turns out he's tall and thin and doing great. And they gave him his shots.
Both your kids are tall.
Their dad's tall. My brother's tall. Like, I'm just not a tall person. The nurse, after she like did hit, I'm sorry, it was a guy. After the guy did his stuff, gave me this like multiple, like 50,000 times photocopied over like form. He's like, yeah, mom, if you just want to fill this out. And it was like a mental health thing. And I looked at him, I go, I'm not going to fill it out. He's like, well, we just need, I go, I'm not going to kill myself and I don't need you to monitor it, but I know you have to do your job. And then the doctor, who's lovely, came in, checked Ethan. He goes, yeah, and if you just want to fill this out, I go, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not going to hurt the baby. And he's like, well, we're just, you know, we want you to know we're here for you. I go, you're here for my baby. And I see a therapist, but I don't need to fill out this like Xeroxed thing asking like if I'm sad. I'm sorry. I don't need to answer to everybody how I'm feeling.
I would not trust anyone less than you, than the woman that's like, no, I'm definitely not going to do anything bad. I'd be like, now I'm going to give you 6 forms because what's happening here?
Well, it's all in the way you say it. Like, I'm definitely not going to do anything bad. I'm sorry. It's just like this piece of paper you're going to glance at, file it away, never look at it.
And then next time they'll make you fill it out again because they're not going to refer back to the original thing you filled out. 100%. I don't disagree that it's just bureaucratic, like covering their asses, but I also would not trust you at all.
Whatever. They know what I do for them. I'm fine. And plenty of women aren't fine, but I just was like, I don't need to tell you how I'm doing.
Right.
I just don't. I'm fine. And trust that I'm taking care of it on my own. And I looked at him, I said, I see a therapist, but I'm also fine.
Okay. Also, that would make me not trust you at all when you're like, don't worry, I'm getting it looked at.
For sure. Because I hesitated. I was like, I'm fine now. Like, I was like, oh no, the more I talk, the more this sounds like I'm doing something awful. I just don't like that. I don't like having to share information about myself to ultimately someone who like is just gonna like refer me. Like, it's nothing about the doctor. He was doing his job, but like, I don't know.
I think you're someone that does question the like why of things. Like, why do you need this? What's the purpose? It would be easier to go along to get along, but that's not who you are.
Question fucking everything. Like at LA Live yesterday when the girl said I had to pay $40 to park and I didn't, and I made the event that I was at give me a refund. Question everything, lower like soft power authority. Do not just take what you hear, except for when we speak, because just know we don't know you, but we have your best interest at heart. Me and Emily on this podcast. Go to Eliza.com/tour. We have the tour kicking off soon. I know that it's very easy to look at tickets and be like, oh, I'll just get them later. The delicious seats get scooped up and then you miss out. So I'm not going to sell it to you. These shows always sell out just fine, but I always want the truest fans to have the best seats, or we add a second show or a third show.
The pod fans.
Pod fans, keep all your top and bottoms coming and your fight me's. We love the audio. I would like to play to an episode because I enjoy it so much, but Emily rules with an iron paw. If you want to send us your fight me, Emily,
you go to askelizapodcast@gmail.com. You record a voice note. Do you have an Apple phone?
Oh, you know what bothers? I should save this for my bottom of the cob. I'm going to tell you right now. A lot of you have already turned off. When people have to be like, listen to my podcast. Get it? Where every podcaster. We know where podcasts are. The fact that you always have to be like Spotify, Apple, or wherever, find podcasts. Like, who is listening that's just like, but where are they? Did I already say this last week?
No, but it's accurate.
It drives me crazy. Like, why do we keep saying this? All right, go ahead.
Okay, email askelizapodcast@gmail.com with your voice note. You can record a voice note on an iPhone by searching on your phone for voice memos. In voice memos, you just hit the little red record button. It will record audio of you. You will then just attach it to the email that you email to askelizapodcast@gmail.com. Or if you do it fancier, just send me an MP3. I don't care how you do it. Audio only. Thank you.